Cassette number 25, side 1, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, continuing section 2, division E, Motion on the Plane of Mind, on page 1039. Roman numeral 3, Results of its Activity. These results can be studied in four ways, considering each as a subsidiary law of the basic law of attraction and repulsion. All motion is the result, literally, of the impact or intercourse between atoms, and there is no atom anywhere which escapes this force. In the case of rotary motion, which governs the activity of the atom of substance, the impulse emanates from within the ring pass knot, and is produced by the impact of the positive charge upon the negative charges. This is true of all atoms, cosmic, solar, individual, chemical, and so forth. When, however, the effect of the rotation of the atom is so strong that it begins to affect other atoms outside its individual ring pass knot, another influence begins to make itself felt, which draws together or dissipates those contacting coalescing atoms. Thus, forms are built under the impulse of aggregated forces of some one kind, and these forms in turn produce effects on other cohering atomic forms, until the rhythm is built up and a vibration instigated, which is a continuation of the rotary motion of the individual atoms and the modification produced on them by their group activity. Page 1040. This causes progression and simultaneous rotation. The movement forward is modified considerably by the internal atomic activity, and this it is which causes that motion we call spiral cyclic. It demonstrates in all forms as a tendency to repeat, owing to the backward pull of the rotating atoms, and yet is offset by the strong progressive impulse of the form activity. Students can work this out in connection with the planetary logos as he manifests through the rounds, each one of which in its earlier stages recapitulates all that has previously occurred. Man in the antenatal period, in which he runs through the various stages of development. Spiritual man, as he creates that which will destroy the dweller on the threshold. This spiral cyclic activity, which is distinctive of all forms, can perhaps be comprehended more practically if we study it as an expression of four laws, taking each one briefly in turn. 1. The law of expansion. This law of a gradual evolutionary expansion of the consciousness indwelling every form is the cause of the spheroidal form of every life in the entire solar system. It is a fact in nature that all that is in existence dwells within a sphere. Footnote: the atom. It is on the elusive nature of matter and the infinite divisibility of the atom that the whole science of occultism is built. 1. Everything is atomic, God, monads, atoms. A. The sphere of solar manifestation, God, the mundane egg, the logoic auric egg, macrocosm. B. The sphere of monadic manifestation, monads, the monadic auric egg, microcosm. C. The sphere of the ultimate physical atom, atoms. 2. The solar system is a cosmic atom. 3. Each plane is an atom or complete sphere. 4. Each planet is an atom. 5. Each heavenly man is an atomic unit. 6. Each human monad is an atom in the body of one of the heavenly men. 7. The causal body is an atom or sphere. 8. The physical plane elemental is an atomic unit. What is an atom? 1. A sheath formed of the matter of the solar system in one or other of its seven grades and indwelt by life of some kind. A. Absolute intelligence informs each atom. B. Absolute life informs each atom. 2. Atoms and souls are synonymous terms. A. In this solar system, atoms and souls are synonymous terms. The primordial ray plus the divine ray of wisdom. B. In the previous solar system, atoms and mind were probably synonymous terms. It resulted in the primordial ray of active intelligent matter, the basis of the present evolution. C. In the next system, atoms and the third factor, pure spirit, may be synonymous terms. The primordial ray and the divine ray plus the third cosmic ray of will or power. 3. Atoms are inseparable from spirit. A. They are the sheath through which the informing God manifests. B. The form of the sheath is a sphere. C. The quality of the sheath is latent love. D. The matter of the sheath is active intelligent substance. From the Secret Doctrine, Volume 1. Return to text. The chemical atom is spheroidal. Man dwells within a sphere, as does the planetary locus and the solar locus, this sphere being the form matter takes when its own internal activity and the activity of the form are working in unison. Page 1041. It requires the two types of force, rotary and spiral cyclic, to produce this. Scientists are beginning to recognize this more or less and to realize that it is the law of relativity, or the relation between all atoms, which produces that which is called light, and which in its aggregated phenomena forms that composite sphere, a solar system. The motion of the constellations external to the solar sphere is responsible for its form in conjunction with its own rotary motion in space. As the wavelengths of the light from the constellations and their relation to the sun are better understood, and as the effect of those wavelengths or light vibrations, which are either attractive to or repulsive to the sun, are understood, much will be revealed. Little has as yet been grasped as to the effect those constellations in the heavens, which are antagonistic to the solar system, have upon it, and whose wavelengths it will not transmit, whose rays of light do not pierce, if it might be expressed in so unscientific a manner, through the solar periphery. Page 1042. We are told in the Secret Doctrine that the seven solar rays dilate to seven suns and set fire to the whole cosmos. This it is which produces that final burning which ushers in the great pralaya and brings to an end the logoic incarnation. It is produced under this law of expansion and causes that eventual merging and blending of the seven sacred planetary schemes which marks the achievement of the goal and their eventual perfection. In occult literature, this term, law of expansion, is limited to the discussion of the seven rays and to the subject of the planetary initiations. When dealing with the expansions of consciousness of the human being and his initiations, we group them under the second law of monadic return. Students should here remember that we are dealing with the expansions of consciousness of a planetary logos through the medium of A, the chains, B, the rounds, C, the kingdoms of nature, D, the root races. It should be remembered that the consciousness he is in process of developing is that of the absolute will and purpose of the solar logos, as it is the expression of the desire of the cosmic logos. Footnote: the four subdivisions of desire should be studied in the Brahmana of the Sama Veda. 1. The desire to know, whence 2. The desire to possess, thereafter 3. The desire to secure possession, i.e. to take the necessary steps, the action that will bring possession, and finally 4. The attainment. These respectively are the four subdivisions: cognitive desire, desire proper, active desire, and summation desire. Quote, the ruler of desire is Shiva, and his instruction to his subhyaks takes this shape. Behold, our work is the work of destruction. The order and the way thereof are these. This should be destroyed first, this afterwards, and such work of the nature of negation should be performed. First, make inquiry, entertain the desire to know, and thoroughly and fully understand the nature of the I and the this. Then entertain the desire to possess. I shall obtain the this and the I. Having obtained them, you will pass on to the negation, to the declaration, no, I want them no more. In the negation is the summation samahara, bringing all together, and it is the samhara also, the taking all in, reabsorption, destruction. Close quote. from Pranava Vada, page 364. Return to text. Therefore, the expansions might be grouped as follows. Page 1043. 1. The solar logos expands his consciousness to include the desire of the cosmic logos. 2. The planetary logos expands his consciousness to measure up to the will and purpose of the solar logos. 3. The lords of the chains are working at the desire consciousness, the love nature, of the planetary logos. 4. The informing lives of the globe in the chain are working at the intelligent consciousness of the planetary logos. This can be worked out in connection with a globe in a chain, such as our Earth chain, in the following manner. The lord of the world, the planetary logos, in physical incarnation, works at his own peculiar problem, the bringing through into physical manifestation upon the planet of the purpose or will of the solar logos in any particular scheme. This he does through meditation. The totality of Dhyan Chohans of the fifth or spiritual kingdom are occupied with the working out into active manifestation of the will and purpose of the planetary logos. The human family or the fourth kingdom is seeking to make manifest the desire or love nature of the planetary logos. The three subhuman kingdoms have for objective the manifesting of the intelligent nature of the planetary logos. Page 1044. All this done under the law of expansion by the method of spiraling progression, cyclic growth, rotary repetition, and the summation of each greater spiral is the expansion of the consciousness into that of the sphere which enclosed the lesser ovoid and the escape of the life imprisoned in the sphere. It is merged in its greater whole. As the fires of the sphere concerned blaze up, the fire by friction, which produces rotary motion, and solar fire, which is the basis of the spiral cyclic activity, blend and merge. The ring pass knot of the confining spheroidal wall is negated, and a blaze results. The old commentary expressed this as follows in connection with the planets, and it is equally, though relatively, true of the atom of substance, or the solar atom. 1. Quote, the life pulsates and the pole performs its function. The sphere revolves in many cycles. As it revolves, it senses other spheres and seeks to know their secret. 2. They meet each other. They seek a greater intimacy or reject with hatred any more approach. Some pass away, others return and marry. They know each other. They spiral through their courses hand in hand. Through union, the fires blaze up. The two become one and live again in their son, who is the third. Close quote. Through the study of these significant words, students may learn somewhat concerning polar affinity, the marriage in the heavens, the transference of the germs of life from the male attractive planet to the negative and receptive one, and finally, at a later period, the absorption of the life of the two planets by a third planet, who is called occultly the Sun. This refers to the synthesizing planet which forms the apex of the solar triangle. In summing up the effect of the union of individual atomic rotary motion and the spiral cyclic activity of all atomic groups, it is necessary to point out, therefore, that the following units are affected. Page 1045. The essential individual atom. Its evolutionary progress towards self-determination is brought about by the effect of its group activity, or the motion of the form modifying its own inherent action. The atomic form, likewise an atomic unit, rotating on its own axis and influenced and driven towards the center of force of a higher macrocosm by the activity of its embracing kingdom. The human atom, self-determined and individual, yet driven progressively forward by the influence of its group, or the potent activity of the heavenly man in whose body it is the cell. The planetary atom, equally self-determined, a composite of all planetary groups, rotating on its own axis, yet conforming to the cyclic spiraling action induced by the activity of the greater sphere in which it finds its place. The solar atom, also an individualized life, the Son in incarnation, through the medium of the Son pursuing its own inherent cycle, yet spiraling in cyclic fashion through the heavens, and therefore progressing through the effect of the extra cosmic active lives who either attract or repulse it. These are the main sets of atomic groups, but there are many intermediate forms upon which it is not possible as yet to touch. All in nature affects that which it contacts, and these effects work either as A, attractive or repulsive impulses, B, retarding or accelerating impulses, C, destructive or constructive impulses, D, devitalizing or stimulating impulses, E, energizing or disintegrating impulses. Yet all can be expressed in terms of negative and positive force, manifesting as rotary or spiral activity, page 1046. The lesser cycle can, from certain angles of vision, be regarded as appertaining to the rotary activity of certain atomic forms, and the greater cycles, which are so much more difficult for man to follow, as relating to the spiral action of the enclosing life of the greater sphere. Every atom is part of a greater whole. Even the solar atom is not a separated life, but a fragment of an immensity of existence beyond the ken of man, and which is but dimly cognized by the most advanced Dhyan Chohan. 2. The Law of Monadic Return. Here it is possible to study the monad from the cyclic and energetic standpoint, and divorce our minds temporarily from that aspect of manifestation we call the human, or man. In considering the divine pilgrim, we can study him as demonstrating in the form of A, three focal points of energy or force, B, three fires, each producing a definite effect, and each in turn producing effects upon each other. In relation to a solar system, these three fires on the cosmic planes are called 1. The central spiritual sun, essential. 2. The sun, subjective, called the heart of the sun. 3. The physical sun, objective. Footnote. 1. The names of the sun mentioned in the secret doctrine are A. Martanda, B. Agni, C. Surya, D. Helios, E. Apollo. 2. The sun in the secret doctrine is used in the three following connotations. A. The central spiritual sun. B. The visible physical sun. C. The three secondary suns. Consider the microcosm manifesting through the causal body, which contains the three permanent atoms, the centers of force for the three bodies, the mental, astral, and physical. 3. Consider the following three statements. A. In the cosmos, the sun is the kama rupa, or desire body of Akasha, the second aspect of Brahma. B. In the system, the sun is the sixth principle, buddhi, and its vehicle, the dragons of wisdom taking form on the fourth cosmic ether, our buddhic plane. C. As an entity, the sun is the seventh principle of Brahma, or the aspect of active intelligent matter. Hence, rejection, as it is called, ensues because consciousness or the development of the ego, logoic or human, is the goal of evolution and not the matter aspect. The primordial ray is only the vehicle of the divine ray. From The Secret Doctrine, Volumes 1 and 2. Return to text, page 1047. And the same thought can be carried through the monadic manifestation. The three monadic centers are distinguished by different types of energy. 1. Monadic, dynamic energy, electric impulse, pure fire. 2. Egoic, magnetic energy, radiatory impulse, solar fire. 3. Personal, individual energy, rotary impulse, fire by friction. The first produces light, the second heat, and the third, moisture or concretion. By the interplay of the three types of force which constitute the three monadic aspects, a rhythm is set up which eventuates in the formation of a ring pass knot or ovoidal sphere wherein the pilgrim is confined, and which contains within itself three major centers of force, corresponding to A, the three major logoic centers when the subjective or force side of existence is contemplated, B, the three permanent atoms if the purely objective side is in question. A cyclic pulsation, which is the cause of every evolutionary impulse. Page 1048. These evolutionary impulses may be regarded as three in number for a solar system or for a monad. There is the impulse which drives every atom to self-determination and is the secret of the phenomenon called individualization. It is largely the force called Brahma. There is the impulse which forces the individual atom towards group determination and is the secret of the phenomenon termed initiation, or the process of passing out of the human or self-determined individualized life into the higher kingdom. It is the sum total of the force of Vishnu, the second aspect, and produces the higher states of consciousness. There is finally the impulse which forces the planetary groups, the sum total of all atoms and forms, to a conscious realization of the nature of the all-enclosing group, the solar atom. The monad, acted upon by the heavenly man, intelligently forms his ring pass knot. There his work ceases from the purely monadic standpoint. The inherent life of the atomic matter thus constituted produces the later phenomena. The rotary life of the atoms and their interplay, modified by the life of the planetary group, or heavenly man, pursued through long eons, causes the phenomena of the various involutionary stages up to the point where certain of the atoms have evolved to the consciousness of animal man. All through this inconceivable period, that is, in connection with our Earth sphere, the myriads of atomic lives have pursued their courses, energized by the life of the monad as it pulsates through the medium of the monadic heart on the spiritual plane. And equally, they have responded to the larger rhythm of the heavenly man. This it is which has produced graded concretion and brought animal man to the stage where the upward pull of the monad itself began to be felt. At the same time, the monad on its own plane began to respond to the self-engendered energy of the lower form. The two rhythms contacted, individualization occurred, and the pilgrim manifested in his true nature. Page 1049. Then, as far as concerns the monad, progressive life forward begins. It is truly cyclic, repetitive, and spiraling. At first, the action or the interplay between the rotary lower atomic form and the influence of the monad is lethargic, slow, and heavy, and the form retards the action of the monad, and its heavy vibration tends to offset the higher. Gradually, as the sweeping spirals play their part, the higher vibration makes itself felt, and the activity or motion is more balanced, but lighter. Thus the cycles run until the higher rhythm or vibration is so dominant that the influence of the form is negated and leads to its eventual discarding. Simultaneously with this, the highest rhythm of all makes itself felt, leading to increased activity upon the highest planes and producing in time a negation of the sheath life of the ego. As the old commentary again says, quote, "The drops of moisture grow heavier. They break as rain upon the lowest plane. They sink into the clay and cause it to blossom. Thus do the waters cover the earth and all the cycles. Two are the objectives of the fathering drops, and each attained in vastly separated cycles. One is to sink and lose itself in the dark soil of earth, the other to rise and merge itself in the clear air of heaven. Between the two vast periods the heat doth play its part. But when the heat grows fierce, and the fires within the earth and beneath the waters burn hot and flow, the nature of the many drops is seen to undergo a change. They dissipate in steam. Thus doth the heat perform its part. Later again the fire electric flashes forth and turns the steam to that which will permit its passage through the air." Close quote. We will now sum up briefly the various vibratory impulses which have a definite effect upon the monad, and which must be borne in mind as we consider the evolution of the divine pilgrim. page 1050. It is not the purpose of this treatise to enlarge upon each distinctive impulse. It but seeks to indicate, leaving to later individual students, the expansion of the imparted ideas. 1. Three impulses inherent in the three periodical vehicles, as HPB terms, the three main centers of energy through which the monad manifests. A. The energy of the monadic ring-pulse knot, viewing it as a unit. B. The energy of the causal body within the monadic periphery. C. The energy of the physical body, the synthesis upon the physical plane of the force pouring through intermanifestation through the three permanent atoms. 2. The activity set up in the seven etheric centers of force, the result of the activity of the seven principles. A. The head center, an esoteric seven with an exoteric three. B. The throat center. C. The heart center, an esoteric three and exoteric seven. D. The solar plexus, an esoteric three and exoteric four. E. The organs of generation, an esoteric two. F. The base of the spine, an esoteric unity. 3. The inherent activity of every atom in every sheath, which produces the rhythm of the sheath. 4. The unified activity of every sheath or form which the divine pilgrim uses. 5. The united active motion produced by the unification of the three vehicles, the seven sheaths, the four centers, and the atomic substance. 6. The effect produced by the action of the groups karmically allied with the pilgrim. They are A. His ray vibration, his monadic group. B. His subray vibration, or the vibration of the egoic group. C. His personality affiliations, such as his family, racial and national energy. All of these play upon the sensitive atoms in the various bodies and produce specific effects. Page 1051. 7. The activity or motion initiated and stimulated by the life of any of the three lower kingdoms in nature, all of which produce definite results. 8. The vibration of the particular planet upon which the monad may be seeking expression and experience. 9. The effect produced in the substance of the sheath by the influences or vibrations of the various planets. This, esoterically understood, is the influence of some one or other of the solar centers, as the forces emanating from them play upon the planetary centers and thereby affect the involved monadic units. This is hidden in the karma of the heavenly man, and when true esoteric astrology comes into being, then more anent this will be given out. Astrology, as now studied and taught, misleads more than it helps, and astrological students are as yet learning but the ABC of this stupendous subject, and are occupied with the exoteric fringes of that great veil which has been wisely thrown over all planetary lore. 10. Another form of energy which must ever be considered is that of the planetary locus, as he pours his force through some one chain or some one globe upon the groups of evolving human units. This, from the human standpoint, cannot as yet be calculated, as it is dependent upon the occult turning of the attention by the planetary locus in meditation upon any center in his body corporate. It is, of course, all under cosmic law, but beyond the realization of man. It involves cognizance of the planetary individual purpose, which is not revealed until the later initiations. Page 1052. 11. The inherent energy of the solar atom itself has likewise a rhythmic effect upon the individual monad, and though it only reaches the monad via the greater centers of existence, yet it has its effect upon one and all. This is another factor not sufficiently recognized. 12. Finally, the energy of the greater life, in which our solar system but forms a part, has to be reckoned with, and the impulses emanating from the cosmic logos, the one about whom naught may be said, reach the monadic lives and produce stimulation or retardation according to the nature of the cosmic ideation. These are necessarily entirely outside the ken of average man, and are only touched upon, as no tabulation would be complete without them. 13. There is also to be borne in mind the play of energy which emanates from any one of those 12 signs of the zodiac with which astrology concerns itself. This type of force is primarily concerned with planetary stimulation, with the planetary logoi, and is hidden in their cyclic karma. A karma which, of course, will incidentally involve those monads and devas which form their bodies and centers. 14. We must not ignore the three great waves of energy which sweep cyclically through the entire solar system from A, the seven stars of the Great Bear. The strength of these vibrations depends upon the closeness of the connection and the accuracy of the alignment between any particular heavenly man and his prototype. The mystery here is profound. It is connected with the stage and evolution of the imperfect gods and the objective of the planetary deities. Page 1053. B. The seven sisters, or the Pleiades, and from that one in particular, who is occultly termed the wife of the planetary Logos, whose scheme will eventually receive the seeds of life from our planet, which is not considered a sacred planet, as has before been stated. C. The Sun, Sirius. There are other streams of energetic force which have an effect upon the pilgrim everywhere, but the above enumeration will serve to show the complexity of the subject and the vastness of the scheme of evolution. All these vibratory emanations pass through the sphere cyclically. They come and go, and according to their presence or their non-presence, and according to the stage of evolution of the emanating existence, will depend the phenomenal character of all life, will depend the nature of any specific period, and the quality of the manifesting monads. It is the appearance or the disappearance of these waves of life force, planetary, interplanetary, systemic, cosmic, and intercosmic, which sweeps into incarnation the divine pilgrims, and which brings about the cyclic manifestation of such great lives as the Silent Watcher and the Great Sacrifice. It is this which causes also the dissolution of a scheme and its reappearance, and is responsible for the transportation of the life seeds from one scheme to another, or from one solar system to another. In this great tide of forces, the monads are swept along. Their aggregate is termed the force of evolution, and the life and persistence of the initiatory being sets the term for their duration. Man is but the plaything of the forces which gather him up and carry him on, just as the atom in the human frame is but the obedient servant of the man's imposing direction. Yet within limits, man is the controller of his destiny. Within limits, he wields forces and energies. He manipulates lesser lives and controls lesser centers of energy. And as time slips away, his radius of control becomes ever more extensive. Page 1054. The atom controls its own central life. Man can control the sets of lives who form his three bodies. The initiate and the adept are controlling energies of many kinds in the three worlds, as the Chohan does on the five planes of evolution. Thus the plan is carried forward until the army of the voice become themselves the sounder of the words, and the sounders of the words become the word itself. It will therefore be apparent that the law of monadic return, which we have just been considering, is the sum total of those influences which have a direct bearing upon the monadic atoms, which affect its progress cyclically, and which stimulate it or retard its activity according to the strength of the initiating life. It is only after initiation that the human atom reaches a stage in its development where forces and influences begin to be comprehended. When the methods are understood whereby adjustment is consciously made to extraneous force currents, resistance to retarding forces is initiated consciously and with scientific accuracy, and the man consciously puts himself into line with forces which will swing him along on the path of return. There is in this thought no undue complexity or cause for discouragement, for ever the potent force of electrical energy will offset the more lethargic vibration of solar fire, and solar fire itself in due time will negate the effects of fire by friction. 3. The Law of Solar Evolution. It is, of course, a truism to state that the law of solar evolution is the sum total of all the lesser activities. Page 1055. We might consider this point in connection with the planetary atom and the solar atom. The planetary atom has, as all else in nature, three main activities. First, it rotates upon its own axis, revolves cyclically within its own ring-pass knot, and thus displays its own inherent energy. What is meant by this phrase? Surely that the myriads of atoms which compose the planetary body, whether dense or subtle, pursue an orbital course around the central energetic positive unit. This dynamic force center must be considered as subsisting naturally in two locations, if such an unsuitable term is permissible, according to the stage, usage, and particular type of the indwelling planetary entity. A, in what corresponds to the head center in man if the planetary locus is of very advanced development. B, in the planetary correspondence to the heart center. The throat center is, of course, ever vibrant in all the logoi, as all are fully intelligent creators, having perfected this capacity in an earlier solar system. Students should here bear in mind that these centers of force are to be found depicted in the central triangles upon the chart on page 373, though no indication is to be found through a study of such triangles as to the relative attainment of the planetary locus. Within the chains, likewise, will be found corresponding centers of energy, and also within the dense physical body of the locus of any scheme, the physical planet. One such center is to be found at the North Pole, and two more are located within the planetary sphere, and frequently the inflow of force or energy to these internal centers via the polar center results in those disasters we call earthquakes and volcanic eruptions. There is, as we know, a cyclic shifting of polar inclination due to the gradually increasing responsiveness of the planetary locus to his heavenly prototype, whereby influences from the Great Bear draw or occultly attract the attention of the locus and bring him more into line with a greater impulsive will. Page 1056. This shifting causes disruption in his lower manifestation, which is a condition on the cosmic path of initiation analogous to that undergone by a disciple. The planetary atom revolves upon its axis and comes periodically under influences which produce definite effects. These influences are, among others, those of the moon and of the two planets which lie nearest to it on either side, nearer and farther away from the sun. The moon's influence is exceedingly strong and has a curious resemblance, as far as the physical planet is concerned, to the dweller on the threshold, which has such a familiar and potent effect upon the human atom. The resemblance must not be strained, for it should be borne in mind that the moon has no effect upon the heavenly man himself, as his stage of evolution negates such a thing, but that the influence felt is by the planetary entity, the sum total of the elemental essences of the planet. Scientific occult students will learn much anent the planetary scheme when they consider the influence of the moon's karmic pull upon the earth, coupled with the effect of the two neighboring planets occultly understood. Second, this planetary atom also revolves orbitally around its solar center. This is its expression of rotary, spiral, cyclic action, and its recognition of the divine central magnet. This brings it under the constant impression of other schemes, each of which produces effects upon the planet. It likewise brings it under the inflowing streams of energy from what are termed the zodiacal constellations, which reach the planetary scheme via the great center, the sun. It will be apparent to any student who has even slightly developed the power of visualization and has some realization of the force currents of the solar system, that all can be regarded as the swirling tide of intermingling currents with numerous focal points of energy demonstrating here and there, yet in no way static as to location. Page 1057. The third activity of the planetary atom is that which carries it through space along with the entire solar system, and which embodies its drift or inclination towards the systemic orbit in the heavens. The solar atom must be considered as pursuing analogous lines of activity and as paralleling on a vast scale the evolution of the planetary atom. The entire solar sphere, the logoic ring pass knot, rotates upon its axis, and thus all that is included within the sphere is carried in a circular manner through the heavens. The exact figures of the cycle which covers the vast rotation must remain as yet esoteric, but it may be stated that it approximates 100,000 years, being, as might be supposed, controlled by the energy of the first aspect and therefore of the first ray. This of itself is sufficient to account for varying and diverse influences which may be traced over vast periods by those with the seeing eye, for it causes a turning of varying parts of the sphere to the differing zodiacal constellations. This influence, in connection with the planets, is increased or mitigated according to the place of the planets on their various orbital paths. Hence the immense complexity of the matter and the impossibility for the average astronomical and astrological student to make accurate computations or to draw accurate horoscopes. Within the Hall of Wisdom there exists a department of which the modern varying astrological organizations are but the dim and uncertain reflections. The adepts connected with it work not with humanity, but concern themselves specifically with casting the horoscopes, thus ascertaining the nature of the work immediately to be done, of the various great lives who inform the globes and kingdoms of nature, with ascertaining the nature of the karmic influences working out in the manifestation of three of the planetary logoi. Page 1058. 1. Our own planetary logos. 2. The planetary logos of our polar opposite. 3. The planetary logos of the scheme which makes, with the two above mentioned, a planetary triangle. Beyond that they may not go. They progress these various horoscopes for the next stated cycle, and their records are of profound and significant interest. I would conjure students here to refrain from attempting, in years to come, to form cyclic computations of any kind, for, as yet, the many constellations which exist only in physical matter of an etheric nature are unknown and unseen. Yet they are potent in influence, and until etheric vision is developed, all calculations will be full of error. It suffices for man, as yet, to master his own dharma, to fulfill group karma, and to dominate what is called his stars. Like the planetary atom, the solar atom not only rotates on its axis, but likewise spirals in a cyclic fashion through the heavens. This is a different activity to the drift or progressive dynamic motion through the heavens. It deals with the revolution of our sun around a central point and with its relation to the three constellations so oft referred to in this treatise, the Great Bear, the Pleiades, the Sun Sirius. These three groups of solar bodies are of paramount influence where the spiral cyclic activity of our system is concerned. Just as in the human atom the spiral cyclic activity is egoic and controlled from the egoic body, so in connection with the solar system, these three groups are related to the logoic spiritual triad, Atma, Buddhi, Manas, and their influence is dominant in connection with solar incarnation, with solar evolution, and with solar progress. Page 1059. Further, it must be added that the third type of motion to which our system is subjected, that of progress onward, is the result of the united activity of the seven constellations, our solar system forming one of the seven, which form the seven centers of the cosmic logos. This united activity produces a uniform and steady push, if it might so be expressed, toward a point in the heavens unknown as yet to even the planetary logoi. End of side one. Cassette number 25, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 1059. Continued on side 2. Side 2, cassette number 25, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, continuing section 2, division E, Motion on the Plane of Mind, on page 1059. The confines of the heavens themselves are illimitable and utterly unknown. Naught but the wildest speculation is possible to the tiny, finite minds of men, and it profits us not to consider the question. Go out on some clear, starlit night and seek to realize that in the many thousands of suns and constellations visible to the unaided eye of man, and in the tens of millions which the modern telescope reveals, there is seen the physical manifestation of as many millions of intelligent existences. This infers that what is visible is simply those existences who are in incarnation. But only 1/7 of the possible appearances are incarnating. 6/7 are out of incarnation, waiting their turn to manifest, and holding back from incarnation until, in the turning of the great wheel, suitable and better conditions may eventuate. Realize further that the bodies of all these sentient, intelligent, cosmic, solar, and planetary logoi are constituted of living sentient beings, and the brain reels, and the mind draws back in dismay before such a staggering concept. Yet so it is, and so all moves forward to some unfathomable and magnificent consummation which will only in part begin to be visioned by us when our consciousness has expanded beyond the cosmic physical plane and beyond the cosmic astral until it can conceive and think upon the cosmic mental plane. Page 1060. That supposes a realization beyond that of the Buddhas who have the consciousness of the cosmic physical plane and beyond that of the planetary logoi. It is the consciousness and knowledge of a solar logos. To the occult student who has developed the power of the inner vision, the vault of heaven can therefore be seen as a blazing fire of light, and the stars as focal points of flame from which radiate streams of dynamic energy. Darkness is light to the illumined seer, and the secret of the heavens can be read and expressed in terms of force currents, energy centers, and dynamic, fiery, systemic peripheries. 4. The Law of Radiation. It will be found that more time will be given to this expression of divine activity than to any other in this section, as it is the one of the most practical utility. This law of radiation is one that is beginning to be recognized by scientists since their acceptation of the radioactivity of certain substances, and when they are willing to approximate the occult conception of the radiatory or emanatory condition of all substances at a specific point in evolution, then they will very definitely approach reality. Radiation is the outer effect produced by all forms in all kingdoms when their internal activity has reached such a stage of vibratory activity that the confining walls of the form no longer form a prison, but permit of the escape of the subjective essence. It marks a specific point of attainment in the evolutionary process, and this is equally true of the atom of substance with which the chemist and physicist deal when working with the elements, as it is of the forms in the vegetable kingdom, the forms in the animal kingdom, in the human, and likewise in the divine. Page 1061. From some angles of vision, it might be regarded as the true form, which is to be understood occultly as the etheric form of energy, making its presence felt in such a way that it becomes apparent even to the scientist. Students should here remember two things. First, that in all occult conclusions, it is the body of energy which is dealt with and the subjective life back of the form which is recognized as being of supreme importance. Second, that the dense objective manifestation, as has been reiterated frequently, is not regarded as a principle at all. The occultist deals with principles alone. It might be of value here to remind the student also that three things have to be recognized in all manifestation. First, that the tangible objective exterior, negative, receptive, and occultly unorganized, is without form and usefulness apart from the inner energy. Second, that the true form or the force vehicle energizes and produces the cohesion of that which is unorganized. Third, that the volatile essence or the spiritual essential life focuses itself in some one point within the true form. Footnote, form, the model according to which nature does its external work. 1. Divine ideation passes from the abstract to the concrete or visible form. A. The objective is an emanation of the subjective. B. Impulse is spirit energy causing objectivity. C. The locus renders objective a concealed thought. 2. Three things required before any form of energy can become objective. 1. Privation, separation, initial impulse, energy, will. 2. Form, quality or shape, nature, love. 3. Matter, objective sphere, intelligent activity. 3. Life precedes form. A. The thinker ever remains. B. Force of life is the transformation into energy of the thought of the logos. 4. Spirit evolves through form and out of form. A. Spirit has to acquire full self-consciousness. B. Form imprisons spirit. C. The principle of limitation is form. D. Spirit informs all sheaths. E. Spirit passes through the cycle of being. 5. The devas are the origin of form. They exist in two great groups. A. The Ahi, or are the vehicle of divine thought. B. The army of the voice. They are the sum total of the substance of the four higher planes and of the three lower. 6. There is a form which combines all forms. From The Secret Doctrine, Volumes 1, 2, and 3. Return to text. Page 1062. In studying the subject of radiatory activity, we are dealing with the effect produced by the inner essence as it makes its presence felt through the form, when the form has been brought to a stage of such refinement that it becomes possible. When this realization is applied to all the forms in all the kingdoms, it will be found possible to bridge the gaps existing between the different forms of life and the elements in every kingdom, and those unifying radiating centers will be found. The word element is yet confined to the basic substances in what is called essential matter, and the chemist and physicist are busy with such lives. But their correspondence, in the occult sense of the term, is to be found in every kingdom in nature, and there are forms of life in the vegetable kingdom which are occultly regarded as radioactive, the eucalyptus tree being one such form. There are forms of animal life equally at an analogous stage, and the human unit, as it approaches liberation, demonstrates a similar phenomenon. Again, as a planetary scheme nears its consummation, it becomes radioactive, and through radiation transfers its essence to another absorbent planet, or planets, as is the case with the solar system also. Its essence, or true life, is absorbed by a receiving constellation, and the outer case returns to its original unorganized condition. Page 1063. Under our consideration of the law of radiation, we will first of all take up the topic of the cause of radiation. A. The cause of radiation. The student will only be able to get a true view of this matter if he views the subject in a large way. Two aspects of the matter naturally come before his mental vision, both of which must be dealt with if any adequate concept of this subject is to be reached, a subject which has engrossed philosophers, scientists, and alchemists for hundreds of years, consciously or unconsciously. We must therefore consider A. that which radiates, B. that which is the subjective cause of radiation. It might be very briefly stated that when any form becomes radioactive, certain conditions have been fulfilled and certain results brought about, which conditions and results might be summed up as follows. The radioactive form is one which has run through its appointed cycles, through its wheel of life, great or small, which has been turned with adequate frequency so that the volatile life essence is ready to escape from that form and merge itself in the greater form, of which the lesser is but a part. It must be remembered in this connection that radiation occurs when the etheric or true form becomes responsive to certain types of force. Radiation, as it is occultly understood, does not concern itself with the escape from the physical or dense form, but with that period in the life of any living entity, atomic, human, or divine, wherein the etheric or pranic body is in such a state that it can no longer limit or confine the indwelling life. Radiation comes about when the internal self-sufficient life of any atom is offset by a stronger urge or pull, emanating from the enveloping greater existence of whose body it may form a part. This is, nevertheless, only true when it is caused by the pull upon the essential life, by the essential life of the greater form. It is not due to the attractive power of the form aspect of that greater life. A very definite distinction must here be made. Page 1064. It is the failure to recognize this that has led so many alchemical students and scientific investigators to lose their way and thus negate the conclusions of years of study. They confuse the impulse of the atom to respond to the vibratory magnetic pull of the more powerful and comprehensive form with the true esoteric attraction which alone produces occult radiation, that of the central essential life of the form in which the element under consideration may have place. It is very necessary to make this clear from the start. Perhaps the whole subject may be clearer if we consider it in the following way. The atom in a form revolves upon its own axis, follows its own revolution, and lives its own internal life. This concerns its primary awareness. As time progresses, it becomes magnetically aware of the attractive nature of that which envelops it on all sides, and becomes conscious of the form which surrounds it. This is its secondary awareness, but it still concerns what we might, for lack of a better term, call matter. The atom, therefore, has an interplay with other atoms. Later, the atom in a form becomes aware that it not only revolves upon its axis, but that it also follows an orbit around a greater center of force within a greater form. This is tertiary awareness, and is caused by the magnetic pull of the greater center being felt, thus causing an urge within the atom which impels it to move within certain specific cycles. This awareness, esoterically understood, concerns itself with substance, or with the true form within the objective form. Finally, the attractive pull of the greater center becomes so powerful that the positive life within the atom, whatever type of atom it may be and in whatever kingdom, feels the force of the central energy which holds it, along with other atoms, coherently fulfilling their function. Page 1065. This energy penetrates through the ring pass knot, evokes no response from what might be called the electronic or negative lives within the atomic periphery, but does evoke a response from the essential positive nucleus of the atom. This is due to the fact that the essential life of any atom, its highest positive aspect, is ever of the same nature as that of the greater life which is drawing it to itself. When this is felt sufficiently strongly, the atomic cycle is completed, the dense form is dispelled, the true form is dissipated, and the central life escapes to find its greater magnetic focal point. Through this process, which is found throughout the solar system in all its departments, every atom in turn becomes an electron. The positive life of any atom in due course of evolution becomes negative to a greater life toward which it is impelled or drawn, and thus the process of evolution carries every life invariably through the four stages enumerated above. Within the three lower kingdoms of nature, the process is undergone unconsciously, according to the human connotation of that term. It is consciously passed through in the human kingdom and in the higher spheres of existence with an enveloping consciousness which can only be hinted at in the ambiguous term self-conscious group realization. It was in connection with this transmutative process that the alchemists of old occupied themselves, but seldom did they reach the stage wherein it was possible for them to concern themselves with the response of the two types of positive energy to each other and with the consequent escape of a lesser positive force to its greater attractive center. When they did, with a few exceptions, they were brought up against a dead wall, for though they had succeeded in locating the radiating principle in substance or in the true form, and had managed to pierce through or to negate both the dense physical body and the etheric form, yet they had no perception of the nature of the central force which was drawing the life they were concerned with out of its apparently legitimate sphere into a new realm of activity. Page 1066. Some few did possess this knowledge, but realizing the danger of their conclusions, refused to put in writing the result of their investigations. If students will study the laws of transmutation, as already apprehended, and above all, as incorporated in the writings of Hermes Trismegistus, bearing this in mind, some interesting results might be brought about. Footnote. In connection with transmutation, the following ancient formula is of interest. It was the basis of the alchemical work of olden days. Quote, true without error, certain and most true. That which is above is as that which is below, and that which is below is as that which is above, for performing the miracles of the one thing. And as all things were from one by the mediation of one, so all things arose from this one thing by adaptation. The father of it is the sun, the mother of it is the moon. The wind carries it in its belly, and the mother of it is the earth. This is the father of all perfection and consummation of the whole world. The power of it is integral if it be turned into earth. Thou shalt separate the earth from the fire, and subtle from the gross, gently with much sagacity. It ascends from earth to heaven, and again descends to earth, and receives the strength of the superiors and the inferiors, so thou hast the glory of the whole world. Therefore let all obscurity fly before thee. This is the strong fortitude of all fortitudes, overcoming every subtle and penetrating every solid thing. So the world was created. Close quote. From Emerald Tablet of Hermes. Return to text. Let them remember that that which seeks liberty is the central electric spark, that this liberty is achieved first of all through the results brought about by the activity of the frictional fire, which speeds up its internal vibration, then by the work upon the atom or the substance of solar fire, which causes A, orbital progression, B, stimulative vibration, C, awakened internal response, until finally electric fire is contacted. This is true of all atoms. A, the atom of substance, B, the atom of a form, whatsoever it be, C, the atom of a kingdom in nature, D, the atom of a planet, E, the atom of a solar system. Page 1067. In every case, the three fires or types of energy play their part. In every case, the four stages are passed through. In every case, transmutation, transference, or radiation takes place, and the result of the escape of the central positive energy is achieved, and its absorption into a greater form to be held in place for a specific cycle by the stronger energy. This process of rendering radioactive all the elements has, as we have seen, occupied students down the ages. The alchemists of the Middle Ages, beginning with the simpler elements and starting with the mineral kingdom, sought to find out the secret of the liberating process, to know the method of release, and to understand the laws of transmutation. They did not succeed in the majority of cases because, having located the essence, they had no idea how to deal with it when released, nor, as we have seen, had they any conception as to the magnetic force which was drawing the released essence to itself. To comprehend the law, and therefore to be able to work perfectly with it, the experimenting student must have the ability to release the essence from its form. He must know the formulae and words which will direct it to that particular focal point in the mineral kingdom, which stands in the same correspondential relation to the mineral monad as the ego on its plane stands to the man who casts off his physical and true forms through death. This involves knowledge only committed to the pledged disciple. If chance students stumble upon the law and theoretically know the process, they would do well to proceed no further until they have learned how to protect themselves from the interplay of forces. Page 1068. As we well know, the workers with radium and those who experiment in the world's laboratories suffer frequently from loss of limb or life. This is due to their ignorance of the forces they are dealing with. The liberated essences become conductors of the greater force, which is their magnetic center, because they are responsive to it, and it is this force which produces the distressing conditions sometimes present in connection with radioactive substances. Every radioactive atom becomes, through this conductive faculty, a releasing agent, and they consequently cause what we call burns. These burns are the result of the process of releasing the essential life of the atom of physical substance being dealt with. There might here be noted the curious phenomenon in the human kingdom which is erroneously termed the prolongation of life. It might more truthfully be called the perpetuation of the form. Medical science today strains every effort to retain life in forms diseased and inadequate. These nature, if left to herself, would long ago have discarded. They thereby imprison the life and force back the life essence again and again into the sheath at the moment of liberation. In course of time and with more knowledge, true medical science will become purely preventative. It will concentrate its ability on preserving the atomic life of the human atom and at furthering the preservative protective processes and the functionary smoothness of the atomic rotary life, thus conducing to the correct following of the human orbital path. But further than that, it will not go, and when the course of nature has been run, when the wheel of life has run down, when the hour for liberation has struck, when the time has come for the return of the essence to its center, then the work will be recognized as completed and the form discarded. But this will not, however, be possible until the human family has reached a stage when, through pure living and clean thinking, the present corruptions have been eliminated. Page 1069. Men will then function on into old age, or until the ego, realizing the particular work to be accomplished in any one life, has been duly worked out, calls in the lower spark of life, and withdraws the central point of fire. This naturally presupposes knowledge and faculties at present lacking. All these thoughts can be extended to include entire kingdoms of nature, the globes of a chain, the chains themselves, a planetary scheme, or a solar system. The moon is an interesting instance of the transmutative or liberating process practically completed in a globe. The essential life of the human kingdom has withdrawn and found a new field of expression. All animal life has equally been absorbed by a greater center in another chain. Practically the same can be said of the vegetable kingdom on the moon, though there are a few of the lower forms of the vegetable life, of a kind unrecognizable by us, still to be found there, whilst the mineral kingdom is radioactive, and the essence of all mineral forms is fast escaping. In connection with the kingdoms of nature, it must be remembered that their growth and eventual radiation is dependent upon the cyclic purpose of the planetary logos, and upon the currents of force which play upon his planetary body and which emanate from other planetary schemes. All atoms become radioactive as the result of a response to a stronger magnetic center which response is brought about through the gradual evolutionary development of consciousness of some kind or another. This is known to be true in a small degree in connection with the mineral kingdom, though scientists have not yet admitted that radiation is thus caused. Later they will, but only when this general theory, which is here laid down in connection with all atoms, is admitted by them to be a plausible hypothesis. Page 1070. Then the goal of their endeavor will be somewhat changed. They will seek to ascertain through clear thinking and a study of the involved analogy what focal points of magnetic energy may be regarded as existing and how they affect the atoms in their environment. One hint only can here be given. Light upon these dark problems will come along two lines. First, it will come through the study of the place of the solar system in the universal whole and the effect that certain constellations have upon it. Secondly, it will come through a close study of the effect of one planetary scheme upon another and the place of the moon in our own planetary life. This will lead to a close investigation of polar conditions in the Earth, of the planetary magnetic currents, and of the electrical intercourse between our Earth and the Venusian and Martian planetary schemes. When this has been accomplished, astronomy and esoteric astrology will be revolutionized, and the nature of solar energy as an expression of an entity of the fourth rank will be appreciated. This will come at the close of this century after a scientific discovery of even greater importance to the scientific world than that as to the nature of the atom. Until that time, it will be as difficult to express the hylozoistic conception in terms of exact science as it would be for the 16th century ancestor of present humanity to conceive of the atom as being simply an aspect of force and not objective and tangible. Hence, further elucidation will but serve to confuse. In considering this vast subject of radiation, which is the result of spiral progressive movement, it might be of interest if I here pointed out that in every kingdom of nature, there are certain focal points of energy which, as the eons gradually sweep along, bring the atomic substance of which all forms in all kingdoms are composed to the point where they become radioactive and achieve liberation. Page 1071. The term liberation really means the ability of any conscious atom to pass out of one sphere of energized influence into another of a higher vibration, of larger and wider expanse of conscious realization. Broadly speaking, it might be said that the mineral kingdom is responsive to that type of energy which is the lowest aspect of fire, of those internal furnaces which exert an influence upon the elements in the mineral world and which resolve these atomic lives into a gradual series of ever higher types of mineral energy. For instance, the type of energy which plays upon iron ore, or which produces tin, is emanated from a different center in the body of the entity informing the mineral kingdom to that which converts the elements into those wondrous jewels, the diamond, the sapphire, the emerald, or the ruby. The energy of the particular center involved is likewise responsive to force originating in the center in the body of the planetary logos, which center depends upon the kingdom to be vivified. In dealing with these kingdoms, therefore, the relations might be briefly indicated. A. Human kingdom, planetary heart center. B. Animal kingdom, planetary throat center. C. Vegetable kingdom, planetary solar plexus. D. Mineral kingdom, planetary spleen. The planetary egoic center is, of course, the transmitter to all the others, and it should be borne in mind in this connection that every center transmits three types of force, with the exception of the spleen, which hands on the solar fires, pranic fire, pure and simple. Students will eventually ascertain how to group the various types in the different kingdoms according to the type of energy they display in fullest measure, remembering that only in the fourth kingdom, the human, is the highest of the three types, that which produces self-consciousness, manifesting. In the others, it is latent. Page 1072. This will become apparent if the method of lunar individualization is studied. The vegetable kingdom is responsive to the particular type of energy which produces the phenomenon of water or moisture. Through the effect of water, every higher type of plant life is evolved, and through the combination of heat and water, results are brought about which produce new types. The herbal scientist who is producing new species is really occupied with the effect of sex energy in the second kingdom of nature. He will do well to deal with all plant life as energy points responsive to other and greater energy centers. Much will be learned along this line when electricity and colored lights are more freely used in experimental stations. Sex in the mineral kingdom, or chemical affinity, is the display in that kingdom of the second type of magnetic force. In the vegetable kingdom, the same thing can be studied in the seed life and in the fertilization processes of all plants. Neptune, the god of the waters, has a curious relationship to our planetary logos and also to the entity who is the informing life of the second kingdom. The animal kingdom is responsive to a type of energy which is neither fire nor water, but is a combination of the two. They are also the first of the kingdoms on the physical plane to be responsive to sound, or to the energy emanating from that which we call noise. This is an occult fact worthy of close attention. The energy emanating from the entity who is the informing life of the third kingdom in nature has five channels of approach, that is, five centers. That animating the fourth kingdom has seven, for the mind and the intuition are added. In the second kingdom, there are three centers, but their manifestation is so obscure as to seem practically non-existent to the human mind. In the first or mineral kingdom, the avenue of approach is limited to one center. It will be observed, therefore, that the stimulation of magnetic energy proceeds from what might be regarded as jumps, 1, 3, 5, 7. Page 1073. Each kingdom starts with a specific equipment, and during the process of evolution within the kingdom, adds to it so that the liberated life enters the next kingdom with its old equipment plus one. The human kingdom is equally responsive to energy. This time it is the energy of fire at its highest manifestation in the three worlds. It must be borne in mind that we are referring to the positive energy of the greater whole as it affects the lesser positive energetic points. We are not referring to form energy. The atom becomes responsive to form energy or to that which surrounds it. It becomes conscious and then becomes responsive to the force of the kingdom in which it is a part. It gradually becomes responsive to stronger influences or to the force emanating from the entity who is the life of that kingdom. Finally, the atom becomes conscious of planetary energy or responsive to the heavenly man himself. It then transcends the kingdom in which it has been and is elevated into another kingdom in which the cycle is again repeated. This can all be expressed in terms of consciousness, but in this section we will limit the thought simply to that of energy. In summation, it might be said that 1. The planetary logos has seven centers, as has man. 2. The informing life of the animal kingdom has five centers, and the animal kingdom has five prototypes on the archetypal plane, whereas man has seven prototypes. 3. The informing life of the vegetable kingdom has three centers of force on his own plane, and there are therefore but three basic types of plant life. All that we know are but differentiations of those three. 4. The informing life of the mineral kingdom works through one center. Page 1074. B. Radiation in the five kingdoms. We have seen that the cause of radiation is the response of the positive life in any atom to the attractive power of the positive life in a greater atom. Expressed in other words, we might say that the deva life of any atomic form proceeds with its evolution and by a series of releases transfers itself during the manvantaric cycles out of one kingdom into another, until every atom has achieved self-determination, and thus the purpose of the heavenly man for any particular Mahamanvantara is satisfactorily accomplished. As might be expected, therefore, when the subject is viewed as a whole and not from the standpoint of any one kingdom, there are in the evolutionary process five major at-one-ments. 1. At-one-ment with the mineral kingdom. 2. At-one-ment of the mineral monad with the vegetable kingdom. 3. At-one-ment of the vegetable monad with the animal kingdom. The progressive life has now made 3 at-one-ments, or expanded its realization 3 times. 4. At-one-ment with the human kingdom. 5. At-one-ment with the heavenly man, or with the great planetary life. Along these five stages, one of them is considered in this solar system to be the most important, and that is the at-one-ment with the human kingdom. For this particular greater cycle, the goal of evolution is man. When individualization is achieved and self-determination is awakened, the monad or divine pilgrim has attained that which expresses the logoic purpose most perfectly. The later stages but set the crown upon the victor, and the final at-one-ment with the Divine Self is but the consummation of the fourth stage, page 1075. Students will find it of interest to work out the correspondence between the five initiations and these five unifications. There is a close connection between the two. By understanding the laws of the different kingdoms, much can be learned anent the conditions governing the five initiations. It will be found that the initiations mark stages in response to contact and to realization which have their interesting germs in the five kingdoms. It might here be pointed out with propriety that radiation is the result of transmutation. Transmutation marks the completion of a cycle of rotary spiraling activity. No atom becomes radioactive until its own internal rhythm has been stimulated to a point where the positive central life is ready for the imposition of a higher vibratory activity, and when the negative lives within the atomic periphery are repulsed by the intensity of its vibration and are no longer attracted by its drawing qualities. This is due to the coming in and consequent response to the magnetic vibration of a still stronger positive life, which releases the imprisoned central spark and causes what might from some aspects be called the dissipation of the atom. This process, nevertheless, in the majority of cases, covers such a vast period of time that the human mind is unable to follow the process. The radioactive period is much the longest in the mineral kingdom and the shortest of all in the human. We are not concerned with radiation in the spiritual kingdom at the close of the Mahamanvantara, so no comment will here be made. It is interesting to note that during this round, owing to planetary decision, the process of producing human radiation or release is being artificially stimulated through the method which we call initiation. And the shortcut to intensive purification and stimulation is open to all who are willing to pass through the divine alchemical fire. Page 1076. Simultaneously, in the other kingdoms of nature, a process somewhat similar in kind, though not in degree, is being attempted. The tremendous manipulation of ores, the scientific work of the chemist and scientific investigation, is analogous in the mineral kingdom to the world processes which are being utilized to liberate the human spark. Out of the chaos and turmoil of the world war, for instance, and the weight of metal undergoing violent disintegration, the mineral monad emerged as from an initiatory test, incomprehensible as this may seem. It will be apparent that a great simultaneous movement is on foot to produce more rapid radiation in all the kingdoms of nature, so that when the cycle is run, the process of planetary radiation may be consummated. This intensive culture is not proceeding upon all the planets, but only upon a very few. The others will run a longer cycle. The initiatory cultural process, which has in view the stimulation of magnetic radiation or transmutation, is but an experiment. It was tried first on Venus, and on the whole proved successful, resulting in the consummation of the planetary purpose in 5 rounds instead of 7. This was what made it possible to utilize Venusian energy upon the Venus chain and the Venus globe of our scheme, and thus cause the phenomenon of forced individualization in Lemurian days. It was the intensive stimulation of the third kingdom of nature during the third root race which artificially unified the three aspects. The process of stimulating through the medium of Venusian energy was really begun in the third round when the triangle of force was completed and ready to function. It is this factor which occultly makes the third initiation of such tremendous importance. In it, the human triangle is linked, the monad, the ego, and the personality, or Venus, the sun, and the earth, are symbolically allied. Page 1077. Enough has here been indicated to give the student room for thought, though one more word in this connection might be added. In the potentially radioactive qualities of the four kingdoms of nature with which we are most concerned, will be found an interesting analogy to the functions of the four planetary schemes, which, in their totality, form the logoic quaternary. This applies also, in a lesser degree, to the four chains which form the planetary quaternary. All have to become radioactive, and all their principles have to be transmuted, and the form for which they are responsible transcended. When the subject of radiation is more completely comprehended, it will be found that it demonstrates one more instance of the unity of all life and furnishes one more corroborative indication of the synthetic nature of the entire evolutionary process. In every instance, that which radiates from each kingdom of nature is one and the same. The radioactive human being is the same in nature, differing only in degree and in conscious response, as the radioactive mineral. In every case, it is the central positive life, the electric spark, or that which is its correspondence, which radiates. There are, therefore, 7 correspondences in this connection in the solar system, 7 types which radiate, or 7 classes of entities which demonstrate ability to transcend their normal motion and to transfer themselves into some greater sphere in due course of evolution. These are 1. The mineral monad of the mineral kingdom, or the central positive nucleus in all atoms and elements. 2. The monad in the vegetable kingdom, or the central positive life of every plant and vegetable growth. 3. The monad in the animal kingdom, or the positive life of each type. Page 1078. 4. The human monads in the myriads of groups. 5. The monad of any particular type or form. 6. The planetary monad, the sum total of all the lives within a planetary scheme. 7. The solar monad, or the sum total of all lives in the solar system. Each of these is first rotary in its activity, or self-centered. Later, each simultaneously with its original motion demonstrates spiral cyclic activity. Thereby, it becomes aware of form and finally becomes radioactive. During this final period, it transcends the form and escapes from out of it, becoming thus conscious of and able to participate in the activity of the still greater enveloping whole. End of side 2, cassette number 25, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 1078. Continued on cassette number 26.